Well, I'd like to welcome everyone to the sponsor and exhibitor highlight session. This is part three. And we're going to start off with a video from our silver level sponsor, which is Vanda Pharmaceuticals. And this is going to be a non-24 video, which I believe Deb is going to play for us.
Hello, California Council of the Blind. My name is Shauna Jaffo. I'm a clinical nurse educator with Vanda. I'm happy to be a part of this year's 2021 virtual state convention. What my role is at Vanda is to increase awareness on a very rare condition called NON24, N-O-N-24. This very rare condition mainly affects those of us who are either totally blind or have limited light perception, low vision. The three main symptoms of NON24 is difficulty falling asleep at night, difficulty getting a full night's sleep, and or difficulty staying awake during the day. You do not have to have all three symptoms, and these symptoms may come and go. How we describe NON24 is cyclical in nature, because there may be some days or some nights where you don't have any difficulty falling asleep or staying awake. And to the other extreme, where you're up for hours in the middle of the night, or you're having to take frequent naps during the day. So those symptoms can fluctuate. And that's the pattern of NON24, cyclical in nature. Our bodies need light to tell us when it's day and when it's night. If our bodies are not able to perceive this light to our brain, then that may lead to the symptoms of NON24. NON24 affects up to 70% of individuals who are totally blind. That's a very high percentage. But keep in mind, you don't have to be totally blind to develop NON24. If you would like to learn more about NON24, if you would like your doctor educated on NON24, or you may know someone who's totally blind, visually impaired, and is struggling with sleep, please reach out to me personally, and I'll be more than happy to provide you all the education on NON24 and what your next steps are. My contact number is 202-538-0396. So to talk a little bit about our health educators, this is a free service over the phone, and they provide as much or as little support that you would like. So if it's mailing you additional information on NON24, if it's connecting our account manager with your doctor to provide further education to your doctor on NON24, or like I say, if you know someone who may be struggling with sleep and would like to learn more, you can refer them to speak with our health educator. If you would like to learn more, the next step would be to contact me personally. I would like to get a little further information as far as get an idea of what are your sleep struggles or what is your goal for meeting with our health educator over the phone. And then you and that health educator can take it from there. Like I say, as much or as little support as you'd like. And lastly, if you would like to have me be a part of your local chapter support group to provide more of an in-depth education on NON24. And when I say in-depth, it would be about a 20, 30-minute presentation along with some discussion so that you have the opportunity to ask some questions or to share some sleep struggles. Normally, we do this in person where I would be a part of your support group. So if you would like to have me telephonically, Zoom, be a part of your group in the coming months, sometime this year, or potentially wait and meet in person when your group is meeting again, we're able to schedule and be flexible in that way. So if you have interest in getting set up with a health educator, or you'd like me to speak with your local chapter, contact me directly at 202-538-0396. If you're unable to jot down my contact information at this time, please note that my name and contact number is listed in the agenda to reference to. I look forward to speaking with many of you individually over the phone. Enjoy your convention. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Shauna. And we are very privileged to have Shauna with us today here at our convention, Shauna Jaffo with Vanda Pharmaceuticals. And what we're going to do now is we're going to spend a little time with Shauna having a question and answer session. So if there are any questions or comments that you'd like to make, please raise your hand and we will do our best to get to you.
Okay, just a sec. I got to get that open again. Every time we screen share, it closes my... Okay, we don't have any questions yet.
Okay.
We do. There we go. All right. So 405 are the last digits of the phone number.
Hi, Dirk Neihardt. What's the percentage of fully sighted people who suffer this condition? Hello.
Yeah, did you get the question?
We heard you fine. Is Shauna unmuted?
I don't know. I didn't even look for Sean.
Oh, okay. Now we hear you. Whoops.
We don't have Shauna.
We don't have Shauna.
No.
Okay. Well, I think in that case, what we might want to do is we can move on to our next presentation. And if Shauna joins us, what we'll do is we'll go back to her for a question and answer session. So what we have next is a message from our 2021 CCB virtual conference and convention exhibitor, Access Ingenuity.
It's going to take me just a second, John. I have to switch back.
No problem. We'll be hearing a short message here in just a moment. You're listening to the CCB 2021 Conference and Convention on Zoom and ACB Radio, live event. Deb is getting our next message ready for us from Access Ingenuity.
Hi, my name is Ian Ramos. I'm an assistive technology specialist with Access Ingenuity. Access Ingenuity is the premier distributor of Freedom Scientific blindness products. We deal with the Focus Braille displays, the new L Braille note taker, as well as the most popular screen reading software available, JAWS. We also provide the Zoom Text and the Fusion software, and also provide a number of low vision hardware type devices, such as handheld magnifiers, desktop magnifiers, and namely the brand new Envision glasses.
Good to go, John.
Okay. I think we're back. Deb, are you hearing me?
Yes, you're fine.
Okay, great. I lost audio for a moment there, but I'm glad that we're back. Well, thank you, Access Ingenuity, for your message. And next, I'd like to introduce a silver level sponsor. This is Democracy Live. And it's a video that will also be played by Deb.
Hello. I want to start by thanking the California Council of the Blind for giving Cruz the opportunity to be here today and be a part of this very important conversation.
Excuse me, we're playing the wrong one. Why is that? Hold on. Hang on a second. Here it is. I'm sorry.
Hello, my name is Brian Finney with Democracy Live! I'm the president and CEO of Democracy Live! Democracy Live! Is the leading provider of accessible voting technologies for voters who are able to vote from home and want to be able to get their ballot and their ballot information in an accessible format. Democracy Live! Has been providing accessible voting technologies since 2008. Starting in California, we serve the majority of California counties to provide all voters, regardless of disabilities, the ability to vote independently and privately from home. Democracy Live! Started in California, now serving, I believe it's 37 counties in the state, to make sure that voters have an accessible information. So we provide the accessible sample ballot throughout California. We provide an accessible absentee or vote by mail ballot for voters throughout California. Most recently, Rutgers University just came out with a report in March of 2021 that there are over 16% of all voters have a form of disability. Those voters, many of whom can't see or hold or mark a paper postal ballot mailed to them. And of course, as we saw in 2020, how critical it is for all voters to vote securely, accurately, with full accessibility. And Democracy Live! Is proud to be a sponsor of this convention and very proud to be partnering with those counties in California that have helped pioneer and spearhead accessible voting, not just in California, but around the country. And as many things happen in California, it started in California to make sure that voters with disabilities can vote at home, an absentee or a vote by mail ballot. And now, because of those efforts, over half the states throughout the entire country have followed the lead of California to offer full accessibility. Voters who are unable to see or mark or hold the ballot can access the Democracy Live! Omni Ballot portal. Voters can access it from their home devices, from their home computers, using whatever screen reader or operating system or other types of technologies that they have to be able to navigate through their computer. They can now navigate and access their ballot, just like if you're able to go to Amazon and go shopping or Facebook and go socialize through your home computer. You can now access a portal through Democracy Live! To make sure that all voters have the same right to vote at home as voters who are able to see the ballot. So Democracy Live! Moving forward is hoping to continue to work with voters and counties in California to continue to extend accessibility so voters are able to not just get their ballot and mark it, but also electronically return their ballot. It's going to be a groundbreaking opportunity to make sure that voters are able to vote privately, conveniently, and independently while accessing their ballot on their home device, whether it's their mobile phone or their computer, and then electronically return the ballot. It's something that Democracy Live! Has been pioneering now for a number of years, and we look forward to working with the state and jurisdictions to make sure that that type of technology can be served to all the voters in California. It's going to take the collective effort of all those who are on this call today or in that convention to really create that groundswell of support to make sure that your local officials and at the state level pass the laws and provide the latitude for voters to be able to access their ballot from whatever device that they're using, complete their ballot, confirm their ballot, and then electronically return their ballot to make sure that all voters are fully enfranchised throughout the state of California. So again, we want to just thank you for the opportunity to support the convention this year. And we're available to answer any questions, provide demonstrations at your convenience Again, my name is Brian Finney, president of Democracy Live. You can contact us at info@democracylive.com or www.democracylive.com. And we thank you for your time today.
Well, thank you, Brian. That was a very nice presentation on your organization. And we have Brian Finney and Charlie Kinu from Democracy Live with us today.
And let's make sure they're on real quick, John. Brian, do we have you?
Yeah, Brian's here.
Yeah, good afternoon.
All right. And then did Charlie make it on?
You know, he might be stepping in here shortly, but for now, I'll have to be what you have.
You got this. All right. Go for it,
son. All right. Well, Brian, thank you again. And what we'd like to do now is we'd like to open it up for a live question and answer session with Brian, and Charlie may be joining him. But if you have a question or a comment, please raise your hand and Deb will recognize you.
I will. And here comes some. All right. 788 is the last digits.
Yes. Just a quick question. Is Contra Costa County one of the counties that does use your program?
Contra Costa, yeah, we do 38 counties in California, and I believe that Contra Costa may be one of them. I should know that. I think that they have been, and if not, they are still providing an accessible option for voters to vote absentee. Again, because of the efforts from many of the members on this conference, there's now a law in California. It was the first of its kind throughout the country to require fully accessible at-home voting, at least to deliver the ballot. As I mentioned on the video, now we're working to allow for electronic return of the ballot. But Contra Costa does provide an option. I need to double check. We happen to support about 2,500 jurisdictions around the country in almost half the states. So I just need to double check on that particular one.
Okay, telephone number ending in 688.
This is Bernice. And I wanted to say that none of the methods that you mentioned for accessibility from home apply to me and a number of members in California. And I wanted to know what you might be doing about that.
Yeah, if you could elaborate just a little bit on some of those methods that you're referring to.
So many people don't have enough money to buy a computer. I don't own or know how to use a computer, and I can't walk. So how do I do my voting from home?
Right. I think it's a fantastic question. What we try to do is only provide one option for voters to be able to access the ballot. Of course, and for voters that don't have access to a computer, there are the local polling places that have an accessible machine that are there. But you're right. This is an online.
That requires that I have to have a volunteer take me there. And when I got there, some of the employees there are very unkind. They start talking to the volunteer and not to the person that's come there to vote.
Right. Right. Well, again, this is an online option to be able to access your ballot. So it does require some form of a computer. Some voters have gone down the local library. But again, the transmission of the ballot for this application happens to be through a computer. Maybe I can defer back to some of the leadership on the call here.
Yeah.
So that's what you offer. So, okay. Deb, do we have other hand?
704 ending digits.
Hi there, Brian. This is Nancy Younger. An interesting presentation. I'm in Riverside County. I don't think my county's involved with this. What's the protocol for getting my county involved? Even though I've gone to the polls before COVID, I had help. I didn't want to go to the polls at this time. But anyway, how is there a protocol for getting my county involved?
There is. It's a great question. Riverside actually is one of our clients that we work with. And Yeah, it's maybe speaks to a broader question about making sure that your local elections authority, they're doing the education and outreach to make sure that all voters that could benefit from this type of technology are fully informed. So if you get the chance, perhaps as a takeaway from this conference is to reach out, engage with your local elections authority. We work with them all the time. So if you don't have access to their number or their contact information, we'd be happy to provide that to you. And again, feel free to contact me at any time. Just Brian, B-R-Y-A-N at democracylive.com. Charlie's just walked in the room here. It's going to be Charlie at democracylive.com as well. And we'd be happy to support you in your outreach efforts to the local elections officials.
No more hands right now.
Okay. If you would like to ask a question, we have a couple more minutes here, so please feel free to raise your hand.
Sure, Steve. We don't hear you, Steve. Oh, you're not unmuted yet. Unmute. You'll have to unmute.
I'm so sorry. I think I'm there now.
You are.
Where are we at with the bill in Congress that would outlaw basically anything other than paper ballots? I mean, are we making progress in that sort so we don't undo everything that you guys and others have done in this regard?
Yeah, it's another very, very important question. You have H.R. 1 and S.B. 1 are the two bills in Congress. And on the one hand, there's some good language in there, in that it does require to extend the electronic accessible ballot delivery to voters, like you have in California right now, but it does prohibit the innovations and the advancements that can take place to do electronic return of the ballot. And that's the problematic language. We've been meeting with a number of state, or I'm sorry, legislative representatives in both houses and in Congress and in the Senate. Your former Secretary of State, Secretary Padilla, is now your U.S. Senator, and I would encourage you all to maybe reach out and engage with Senator Padilla, given his history as a former chief elections official in California, to really educate him that although ballot delivery of the ballot is a key first step to have full true accessibility in voting, we're going to require electronic return. And to ban it entirely is similar to what if they would have banned electronic banking back in 1997. You know, it would have really suppressed innovation. And what SB does right now, SB 1, it suppresses even the advances and the testing and the trials and the pilots to do electronic return. I'll just say briefly that Democracy Live! Did electronic return throughout the country. So it's already being proven in multiple states. One of the efforts that we have underway in the state of California under AB 37 is we are trying, it's a state legislative initiative by Senator Berman to incorporate pilots to do electronic ballot, not just delivery, but electronic return, and do pilots within California, because that's when you can get full and true accessibility in voting.
Roxanne?
Great.
Am I on now?
You are.
Oh, good. Thank you. This is my first time to unmute. I think you're doing a wonderful job, and I so appreciate the work you're doing. My question is, would you be willing to share with us what your funding is?
Yeah, our funding comes primarily from state and local counties who license our software. We've been funded by, by Amazon, as an example, because everything that we have is hosted in the Amazon cloud environment. We are selected by the U.S. Department of Defense, so we got some funding from them. Last year, we were funded in part by the U.S. State Department to do some international elections. But primarily, it comes from the counties and the states that we do business with. You know, so the state of Michigan and the state of Pennsylvania and San Francisco County and Sacramento County and Riverside County and San Bernardino County. And that's really where our funding comes from. Initially, in the very beginning, when we first started off, it was I founded the company out of my garage, and we went to 100% vote by mail in the state of Washington. which was great for all of us that could see the ballot, but obviously it created an issue where voters, my neighbor who happened to be blind, didn't have access to the ballot. And so we tried to collaborate. And in fact, Deb Cook may remember this. We worked with the University of Washington Center for yes. Technology and Disabilities to try to build at the very beginning, back in 2008, an accessible ballot.
I think we probably have time for one more question if we have another hand raised.
We don't. Oh, we just got one. You asked
all right.
for it. Margaret.
Good morning, or it's almost afternoon. I live in Merced County, and I'm actually part of the Voter Accessibility Committee here. And I really love the new voter accessibility machine that was brought in, I guess, maybe a year and a half ago or so. It was way better than the older machine. It's very intuitive and easy to use. So I just wanted to give a shout out for that machine. I also work at a center for the blind in Merced, and we've been able to work with the Registrar of Voter to bring the machine to our center a month before actually the voting takes place. And people can exchange their mail-in ballot for an accessible ballot, and they can bring it over to our center. We have it in a secure location. We've been sanitizing in between people using it, and so they can use it at their leisure, at their speed, at our center. And that's really been something people have liked to be able to do. So I just wanted to let you know that there's people that say, well, there's different ways to access it. I haven't tried the online. I understand that's also available. So I just wanted to give a shout out for some of the things that are happening and working with our county, be able to get a machine at our center ahead of time, which has made it more accessible for some of our people as well.
That's great. And of course, it's all about options, and having an accessible machine in the polling place is vital. You know, this initiative is to extend accessibility beyond just the polling place and into the home on whatever device that you have at home. Of course, voting by mail is an absentee. It's the fastest growing method of voting in the country. And so now for the first time, you're able to access your ballot from home. But of course, those machines are always available to you as well. Now, again, I'll just say that I think the next step is really to mobilize, you know, the folks on this call here today around the idea of taking it to the next level of being able to vote entirely, you know, from your mobile device or from your computer. And that, I think, will be the holy grail to you know, full and complete enfranchisement for all voters, regardless of disabilities.
Well, Brian and Charlie, thank you very much for your very informative presentation. And I'm sure that some of our members will be contacting you, and we'll definitely be reaching out to you as an organization in the future. So thank you for taking time on your Saturday to present to us, and we really appreciate your valuable information.
Well, it's an honor to support the California Council of the Blind. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Before we move on to our next presentation, let's see if Shauna with Vanda Pharmaceuticals has joined us.
She has not.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, let me introduce our next presentation from a gold level sponsor, Cruise LLC. And first, we will have a video from them.
Hello. I want to start by thanking the California Council of the Blind for giving Cruise the opportunity to be here today and be a part of this very important conversation. My name is Kenny Montilla, and I'm the Public Affairs Manager at Cruise. As you may know, Cruise is an autonomous vehicle company focused on reimagining transportation. Our mission is to build the world's most advanced autonomous vehicles to safely connect people to the places, things, and experiences they care about. For millions of Americans who are blind or vision impaired, transportation remains a significant barrier to mobility, participation, and independence, and EVs offer an incredible opportunity to change that. Cruise is building a service that can get you to your destination without you ever having to take control of the wheel. Cruise was founded under the premise that transportation as it exists today is fundamentally flawed. According to the National Safety Council, about 42,060 people died in vehicle crashes in 2020, which is an 8% increase over 2019, although there were fewer cars on the road due to the COVID-19 pandemic. What we learned is that fewer cars on the road hasn't necessarily led to safer trips. Instead, what we're seeing is drivers engage in unsafe driving behaviors such as speeding, impaired driving, or not wearing seatbelts. NHTSA recently reported that 65% of drivers in trauma centers after a serious crash tested positive for drugs or alcohol during the pandemic. This should be unacceptable to everyone, and we believe that AVs have significant potential to help. An AV doesn't get tired, doesn't drink and drive, and never gets distracted by text messages. Another one of the major challenges we're facing today is climate change. According to the EPA, transportation accounts for 28% of all greenhouse gas emissions in the United States, making it the largest contributor to carbon pollution. We have seen the impacts of climate change across the country, from powerful hurricanes in the southeast U.S. to wildfires right here in our home state of California. There is a direct correlation to air quality and the number of gas-powered vehicles on the road polluting the environment. In March, when there were fewer vehicles on the road, Northern California experienced its best air quality in decades. Fast forward to August, in California, we witnessed wildfires burn more than 1 million acres, leaving thousands displaced as climate change added another compound crisis to the COVID-19 pandemic. With more than 500 fires burning across the state, air quality was reported as the worst in the world right here in the Bay Area. Lastly, one of the biggest challenges we're seeing in transportation today is the lack of accessible transportation. There are over 6 million Americans who identify transportation as their chief barrier to access. The employment rate for individuals who are legally blind or visually impaired is roughly 37%. This is not due to ability, it's simply a lack of access. Autonomous vehicles represent a valuable new resource that has extraordinary potential to help blind people gain greater independence. So, what is Cruise doing to address these challenges? Number one, we feel we have a moral imperative as a society to do better, to make our streets safer for everyone, and that is what Cruise is working towards. At Cruise, safety is our number one priority. Our partnerships with GM and Honda put us in a unique position to think about safety from the outset. While Cruise focuses on building the autonomous technology, our partners are manufacturing the vehicles to fit that technology and ensure that they all function at an optimal level. Our vehicles are equipped with over 40 sensors comprised of cameras, LiDARs, and radars. When put together, these sensors give the vehicle 360-degree vision and enable the vehicle to measure the velocity and trajectory of anything in its surrounding. All this information is collected by a computer in the vehicle that ensures that the vehicle is safely interacting with all road users and even responding accordingly to unexpected occurrences. We have been testing our vehicles in San Francisco since 2016, and we have done testing on public roads with our training operators on closed courses and via simulation, which allows us to test our vehicles 24/7. Since 2016, we've logged over 2 million autonomous miles in the complex driving environment of San Francisco. In late 2020, we received our driverless testing permit from the California DMV and have since been conducting fully driverless testing in the city of San Francisco. On the issue of climate change, Cruise is moving beyond the car and committed to the fight against climate change. Our vehicles have been all electric since day one, and in California have been powered by 100% renewable energy generated right here in our home state since 2019. In 2020, our autonomous vehicles drove 770,049 clean autonomous miles in California. This accounted for about 80% of all clean miles driven by autonomous vehicles in the state. At the start of the pandemic, we partnered with local food banks in San Francisco and repurposed our all-electric fleet of autonomous vehicles to provide contactless deliveries to families in need across the city. To date, we're proud to share that we have completed hundreds of thousands of deliveries, about 84% of which have gone to households below the San Francisco poverty line. These deliveries would have likely been done in gas-powered cars. And in addition to serving those in need, our presence on the road equates to approximately 135,000 total pounds of CO2 emissions avoided. This puts us in line to help the state of California meet its ambitious sustainability goals. Another important factor to keep in mind is that Cruise is still pre-commercial. This is significant because we have the unique opportunity to avoid the mistakes of yesterday and really build a product with you in mind from the onset. We're thinking of design and working with partners like California Council of the Blind to help inform how we think about inclusive design from day one. We all know that accessibility is not a one-size-fits-all. 57 million Americans identify as having a disability, and the needs and experiences of 50 million people are all incredibly unique. Cruise has taken a concerted, deliberate approach to understand the differences both between and within communities. The blind and low vision community, the deaf and hard of hearing, people with cognitive disabilities, and the non-ambulatory community. Recognizing and understanding differences allows us to create better product for everyone. We also know that we don't have all the answers. Luckily, we have partners like the California Council of the Blind and others in the blind and low vision community that can help us understand the challenges that you overcome every day. How to find a vehicle, understanding where you are during a trip, navigating the curb safely, and finding your destination. These are all things that we learn by engaging directly with you. With partners like California Council of the Blind, industry is literally and figuratively driving a technological revolution with society-wide benefits. That makes the work of the California Council of the Blind and Cruise's partnership with you all that much more important. In late 2020, Cruise became the first autonomous vehicle company to test a fully autonomous vehicle in the city of San Francisco, as I had mentioned earlier. While this might sound like a small step, for the millions of people in the blind community, AVs will be life-changing. For blind and low vision people, AVs suggest much more than just convenience. They represent a reliable and affordable pathway to enhanced independence and ultimately equality. With AVs, a larger number of blind people would be more empowered to work wherever their abilities and preferences take them, not just wherever is reachable by the current transportation options. We're very cognizant of the fact that our Mission 3 Shaped Transportation is going to be a long, challenging journey. However, we believe that this challenge, the challenge of a lifetime, is worth facing and the societal benefits will be well worth it. We have no doubt that with your continued support, we will make significant progress towards a time where the blind community can experience the equity and freedom you so rightfully deserve. Again, I want to thank you for your attention and for allowing Cruise to be a part of this very important conversation. We appreciate the California Council of the Blind's partnership, and we look forward to continuing to work with you to make this technology a reality. To learn more about Cruise, please visit us at www.getcruise.com or contact us directly at community@getcruise.com.
Thank you very much for that very informative presentation, Kenny. And I believe that Kenny is with us for a live question and answer session. Is Kenny here?
Kenny is here. Thank you so much for having me, John. Really appreciate it.
Well, you're very welcome. And Deb, why don't you go ahead and let us know of raised hands, and we'll have a nice question and answer session.
Deb, switching PCs.
There you go.
All right, just a moment.
Sure.
All right. Phone number ending in 155.
Hello, this is Roger Peterson. Am I with you?
Go ahead,
yes,
Roger.
You are. Roger, go ahead.
Okay. Whenever I listen to things about autonomous vehicles, I can sort of understand how they work on the streets and how you can get them to work with other cars and all that. But the thing that puzzles me, and I wonder how much you've thought about it, is the beginning and the ending of the trip. I think of, you know, the condo that I live in here. It seems as though human drivers can't find the entrances and get inside the building. And, you know, there's a front door with a bunch of steps up to it, and there's a garage door off the driveway which requires a pocket device to open the door. So I'm just curious about what you thought about in terms of how the car is going to be able to tell me things and how I'm going to be able to tell the car things, to instructions and so on.
Thank you for the question. It's definitely a great one, and something that we have thought about. I think one of the things that also makes Cruise and autonomous vehicles in general probably better suited to address these sort of concerns is the fact that, and I'll speak to Cruise specifically, our plan is to own and operate the fleet entirely. What's cool about that is that, let's say you have a specific pickup or drop-off location that you frequent. You could relay that information to us so that we can try to program it into the system. And at that same way, whenever you do request a pickup from your home, our entire fleet will now know, okay, this is where Roger needs to be picked up, or this is where the entrance to his home is. So there's a couple of advantages in that way. But you know, I think the important thing to keep in mind here is that so far, because we're still pre-commercial, these are some of the ideas that we've talked about. So allowing people to specify, again, pick up and drop off. And I think when speaking specifically to picking someone up at their home, that's a little different than, you know, maybe a pickup on just on the street, where in that case, there will be designated pickup and drop off locations. But yeah, I hope that helps answer your question. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the long and short of it is that because we control and operate the entire fleet, again, that feedback from you is exactly what we look for so that we can help inform the fleet and help it, you know, better serve your needs.
Phone ending in 405.
Hi, Dirk Neihardt. Of the nearly 1 million miles, how many pedestrian accidents have there been? And of those, how many pedestrians have been blind or visually impaired?
That's a fantastic question also. I'll be honest, I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. What I will say is that we haven't had any major incidents occur with our vehicles. And again, I'll reiterate that we're still pre-commercial. So anything that we're doing on the road is either participating in our food delivery program, which I covered in the announcement earlier, which is dedicated to serving the San Francisco community and delivering meals and groceries. Other than that, it's via our driverless testing, which we started late last year. So, you know, the good news is that we haven't had any major incidents at all. And also the California DMV does publish what's called a disengagement report, which also helps measure, like, you know, how many miles does the vehicle actually travel autonomously before a driver actually needs to take over. And last year we reported the best numbers that we've had to date. So we're seeing consistent improvement. And again, safety is our number one priority. So we've been very careful. And even before, you know, beginning driverless testing in a given neighborhood, we always reach out to the community. I personally touch base with several different neighborhood associations and try to build those relationships so that, number one, we can get an understanding of what the community needs, what they're going through, and how we can help support, but also to let them know, like, hey, here's what we're thinking of doing. Just want to give you a heads up that this is coming to your neighborhood. If you and or your neighbors want to have a larger conversation about it, here's my contact information. Let's set up some time to talk. We've been fortunate enough to have a very good track record in that sense.
Phone ending in 788.
Yes. My question is, it sounds like what you're setting up is rideshare equipment, you know, where I could summon a car. What if I wanted to have my own car that was fully autonomous? I see three big issues with that. One, can a blind person interface with the car and tell it what to do? You know, most of them use a touch screen, which we can't negotiate. Two, obviously, we have a problem with the state. State of California still requires a licensed driver in the car. And third, of course, if I called my insurance company today and say and told them, I'm blind, I want car insurance, they would laugh me out of the room. What are the solutions to those?
That's another great question. I love this. So I'll try to answer them in order. Again, speaking to Cruise specifically, our goal is not to sell or lease our vehicles. It's strictly to own and operate, and that's for a couple of reasons. Number one, we feel like we can provide a consistent service if we control the fleet. As an example, typically today, if you order, regardless of platform, you order some sort of rideshare service, you don't necessarily know what kind of vehicle you're going to get. You can't necessarily tell if it's going to be, you know, up to your cleanliness standards or, you know, is it going to be reliable? Like, is it going to arrive at the time it says it's going to arrive? We believe that because we control and operate, we have a unique ability to control that and ensure that it's up to the standards that the community expects. Number two, our goal, yes, you're 100% right, is to build a rideshare service. And part of the reason for that is, again, I touched on earlier the environmental impacts that gas-powered vehicles are having today. And a large reason for that is because there's a lot of single occupancy vehicles on the road, meaning, you know, it's one person per car. And in our mind, if we can build a reliable, sustainable ride-hail service that people can share, it will help get more cars off the road, which again, helps support our sustainability goals, ours being the state of California. And additionally, helps address the issues of congestion that we're seeing in major cities, which is, you know, creates a number of problems. To your point of licensing, I think that applies more to individual ownership. So I can't really speak to that from that level again, because our goal is to own and operate. And part of the reason is exactly that, right? We understand that there are so many people that for whatever reason can't get a license or don't have a license. I myself don't have a car here in California, and that's by choice, right? Like I appreciate the convenience of not needing to deal with what comes with that. But the idea of having an autonomous vehicle that can get me from point A to point B is very enticing. And lastly, to your question about insurance, per the state of California, every autonomous vehicle company is required to have insurance. So from our perspective, that's how we would handle it. I know that your question was more geared towards individual ownership, but again, I don't want to misspeak or on that specific topic, since again, our goal is just to own and operate entirely.
Joshua?
Yes, my name is Joshua Saunders, and I had a question because I consistently have used Uber and Lyft, and I'm sure you're familiar with those. And one of the main issues I've had is I have some limited vision, so I'll ask for a car, and it'll say a red car is coming, and I can see the cars are coming up, and I might be able to tell that the car is coming up. But I won't know if it's the right one. So I'll say, is this Uber or whatever? And I'll get a response. So I'll know I'm getting in the right car or trying to get into the right car. I've actually made the mistake of trying to get in the wrong car once. So I'm wondering, you know, if I, in the future, if it's an automated car or vehicle, and I'm not sure, is this the car I ordered or is this someone else's car that I don't want to get into without freaking them out? How do I find out if I'm getting into the right vehicle?
Yeah, thanks so much for that question, Josh. So a couple of things, and we've had conversations to address this exact issue with several different organizations, several different folks, to try to get a feel for that. Like, what would actually work best for you all? And I welcome the discussion even after this presentation here, Q&A session. But some of the things that we've talked about internally are, you know, are there sounds that maybe folks can hear to know that they're getting close to the car? Is there some sort of vibration on the app, on the phone, that lets you know that the vehicle is arriving or that it's getting close? Or is there an audio that comes from the phone directly to let you know, like, hey, the vehicle is here? And also even things such as when the door opens to the vehicle or when you get in the car, that it says, you know, welcome, Josh, as an example. So again, because we're pre-commercial, these are all things that we're still designing. So it's a great question, and you're certainly thinking about it the right way. But those are some of the ideas that we've talked about and that I know we're working on internally. So I know Sarah and I have had a few conversations and want to continue these conversations with the California Council of the Blind at large. So I welcome any and all ideas, truthfully. Like I mentioned, we're still pre-commercial, so we're still building this out. So any and all ideas are definitely welcome.
We have no more hands.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to ask Kenny a question? If so, please raise your hand now.
No hands.
All right. Well, thank you, Deb. And Kenny, thank you very much for this informative information. We really appreciate you taking time to produce your video and attend our conference this morning. And we look forward to working with you.
Of course. Same here. Thank you all so much for, again, inviting Cruise to be a part of the conversation. We really do appreciate your partnership. And one last thing I would like to plug, John, if it's okay, is, you know, I would encourage any and everyone to reach out to us at community@getcruise.com. That's an email address that I oversee myself. So, you know, I really do want to engage with everyone so that we can have these conversations and so that I can have a better understanding of how we can build a product that really is best suited to meet your needs. So, again, thank you. Appreciate the time and look forward to continuing the conversation with you all.
Thank you very much, Kenny.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kenny. Thank you.
Well, we are running a bit ahead of time right now, and I'll ask one more time to find out if Shauna from Vanda Pharmaceuticals has joined us.
And I did shoot her a text, and I did not get a response. I really hope everything's okay, and maybe what we could do is in the future we could have something with Shauna.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't see her here.
Okay.
All right.
So we are a little bit ahead of schedule. However, we can fill some time here. Does anybody have any announcements out in the audience? And we're getting a little bit of feedback too.
Okay, let's see. No, I don't see any.
Everybody's tired.
Well, how about if we ask Lisa for a door prize?
I think that sounds fantastic.
Lisa, if you're able to draw a door prize, that would be great.
Sure, I can do that. Always a good way to fill in a few minutes. So let's do a $25 Amazon gift card donated by the Orange County chapter. And the winner is Steve Bauer.
Congratulations, Steve.
Woohoo, Steve.
That's fantastic. How about if we do one more?
There you go, John.
I like your style, John.
Well, we have a lot of people in the audience, and I'm sure that if we do one more, nobody will be upset by that.
I don't think so. So let's do another one. A $25 Amazon gift card donated by CCB. And the winner is Diane Harms.
Congratulations, Diane. She's a member of my chapter, the Silicon Valley Council of the Blind, and I'm sure Diane is listening.
Congratulations, okay. Diane.
Well, Sarah, what would you suggest that we do?
Well, I'm wondering if we still have Larry around. Larry, are you around?
It depends on what you want me to do.
Well, I'm wondering if you want to maybe give people a little sneak peek about our banquet happening later today.
I could do that. We have, because technology plays a part now in everything that we do. So what we've done is that we have, of course, Linda Perel, who's going to be doing publications. She's going to do those live for us. And for those of you who have written anything, those of you who do like to write, maybe submit articles, etc., you may want to stay tuned, because you might be as surprised as I was last year when I won. I just put it together and thought, well, this might be of interest to people, not thinking, that anything would come of it. I never do that. Hardly ever. And so I won last year, and it was really nice. And so if you put together articles over the last year or so, or have had anything to do with publications in terms of submitting something, you might be in the running for something. Who knows? So stay tuned for that. Also, Christy Crispin's committee with regard to scholarships, there are lots of people who won scholarships, and we're going to feature those people a little later on as well. Guillermo, as membership chairman here at CCB, has some awards to give as well, as he would every year as membership chairman. We have, as our entertainment, this year, Jason Castanway. Now, if you remember Jason from ACB, you might have heard the concert that he did over Valentine's Day. Terrific. Lots of money. Lots of money was raised for ACB Radio as well. And Jason's going to play for us for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes or so. He is terrific. I thought to myself, does he sing better than he plays, or does he play better than he sings? And the answer I came up with was yes. He plays and sings equally well. So that's exciting. Anytime he gets a chance to do that, he enjoys it, loves it, and he'll be our featured entertainment. And then Frank Welty will be with us to submit some wonderful awards. And by the way, we have some nominees to the Hall of Fame this year. Always exciting, always fun when that happens, because generally you know most of these people who get inducted. And it's always great to see one of your friends inducted for all of the incredible effort that they put forth for CCB every year. And then, of course, Lisa Thomas will be with us, because she'll not only be giving away door prizes when I ask her to do that cheerfully, and we'll hear the sort of spinning of the wheel. But then you'll also get a chance to, if you have a mind, to donate some money to CCB. We did that last year, and it was great fun and enjoyable. And some nice things were said about CCB. We're not saying that you have to do that, but certainly it's your call, and we'd love it if you did. Speaking now as a board member. And we'll see how long that goes. The banquet's supposed to go from 4 to 6. I think we have enough stuff going on between those 2 hours to fill. And if it goes over just a tad or a skosh or just a little, that's fine too. So that's kind of what we have happening this year. And we just took care of about 3 or 4 minutes of time. And if we do have a hand.
Let me know.
Oh, we do.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic.
I hope it's attached.
Yeah. It's a cyber hand, so it's probably good.
Okay.
Go ahead, Christy.
Well, I don't know how attached or detached it is.
All right, it's detached. Now that I know who this is.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify. Thank you, Judy, for mentioning the Ellen Murphy Fund. And the Ellen Murphy Fund managers are myself, Christy Crespin, Donna Pomerantz, and Kathy Schmidt Whitaker. And the Ellen Murphy Fund it's a crisis fund that was placed in a trust by Ellen Murphy. And this fund assists single women over the age of 50 or 50 and older who are legally blind. So if a person is in crisis, is 50 years old or older, a female, single, and legally blind. This fund basically is a one-time grant, and we do have we have a phone number, and I'm sorry because I did not get on with it, but I will give you guys the phone number and the email address unless Donna or Kathy are on and they can beat me to it. So I just wanted to share that. And I am so pleased with the morning program. You guys just outdid yourself. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Christy. And Christy, if I could ask you, if you could maybe you and Donna and Kathy get together and put something together with that information, as well as, you know, contact information, we can get it out there in the universe. And
yes,
and
yes,
I think that is such an important piece of something that CCB is part of that, you know, doesn't get enough, it doesn't get talked about enough, right?
Right.
So, yeah, put something great together so that we can put it out there in the world and really help people the way that we want to, and the way that Ellen Murphy intended.
Right. And also, she did intend this trust or this fund to grow. And so we also appreciate donations. So I'd like to thank the Bayview chapter, because they have donated to it. And my chapter, Active Blind Inland Valleys, also donates to it. So thank you very much.
Regina?
Hi again. Sorry to be chatty Kathy this morning, but I wonder.
You sound very caffeinated, Regina.
You may have to You have to explain that one to some of the younger people who have no clue as to who Chatty Cathy was.
Sorry. Okay. You pulled a string and the doll talked.
That's right.
Yes.
So I wondered if I could give the information because I've been getting emails and the board would like me to emphasize how to get in touch with IDC. And I think we got a little rushed at the end. So since we have time, if you want to sign up for membership, you contact Vita. And for those of you that don't have the number, it's 510-846-4080, 510-846-4080. That's if you're ready to pay dues, because, you know, that's Vita's thing. She takes money. She's a treasurer. But if you just want to inquire and you need more information or that kind of thing, it would be membership at idcofccb.org. That's the email address, membership at idcofccb.org. Okay, and we'll put that out in the happenings again too, but we just wanted to make sure everybody knew how to get in touch with us. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Sarah, I have something that is right now in these speculative stages, an idea. Bob Acosta called me today because he loves to talk about how much he enjoyed the convention, and he was pointing out things he liked a lot. And he said, by the way, I love the Song of Unification that you guys played last night. And I said, well, thank you. It was almost spur of the moment. And he said, boy, and then he went into great detail about who was involved and what was happening at the time. And I said, stop, Bob. This would make a wonderful article for the Californian. He said, I'm not sure that I could necessarily do justice in terms of writing. I said, yeah, but there are plenty of people around. And then I thought to myself just now, what if we were to get them in a Zoom room like we did with the history roundtable people, have them chat about this, what it was about, what was the whole thing was about, and then we'll figure out who's going to write it. I think it would be a terrific article that we could put forth in the California and let people know about another aspect of CCB history.
Ooh, I like your style.
That's a great idea.
I think that would be great. And if anybody out there knows, because the thing I haven't been able to hear or tell is who the narrator was at the beginning of that song. So if anybody knows.
I think we've got sure. Roger or Bernice up here.
Right. But what we ought to do is.
One of them has their hand up.
Yeah. But we'll figure out how to get this involved and who wants to be involved. Yeah. Later on, but I'm just posing it as a thought now.
Okay, so go ahead.
We may both have our hands up.
Yeah, just you.
you guys hear me now, right?
You do.
We do, Roger.
I was thrilled to hear that song last night, and I remember I was there at that 85 convention, the reunification convention, where John DeFrancesco and his students sang it. And I had always heard that it wasn't clear that we had a copy of that. And I'm very pleased that we do. And I'd like to know more about that. If you want to...
It should become a fundraiser for the organization.
If you want to raise funds for me, that would be a good thing.
Is he out of order now?
Yeah, he's out of order now. Well, and I think that we really need to, give thanks where thanks is due. And that came from David Mandel. He sent that to me, and I believe he said that he had got it from Connie Skeens many years ago.
I bet you there were copies made. That was obviously made, but that wasn't at the banquet. That was made beforehand, I think.
Right. Yeah,
mm-hmm. A studio or something. But
I think it said that it was recorded at a studio.
And I'd like to know who the narrator is too.
Does anyone know who the narrator is?
Ruth Ann thought it was DeFrancesca, and it sounded like him vocally when he sang.
Yes,
I'm not sure. No, okay.
Roger doesn't agree because he was losing his hearing, but I do think that was John DeFrancesco's voice.
Yep, I do too.
The singing or the narrating?
Yes.
The narrating.
The narrating, and also the narrating. Singing the bass part.
Okay.
The
bottom singing, part. I remember that okay. They were saying that the singing was a lot of people who were or had been John's students. You know, he taught music at the School for the Blind. So lots of the people had been in his choirs. And he was getting pretty deaf at that time. But so who knows? But David knows.
Bob told me that he put his head and ear next to the piano to hear the notes because he couldn't hear them otherwise. And I found that fascinating. I thought only Mozart did that.
Very hearing impaired toward the end.
Yeah.
I thought Mozart did it by, you know, biting onto a metal rod. He welded to his piano.
He also hated the thought of the blind school moving to Fremont. Yeah, he was against that, I remember.
Yeah. And the author of that song, she was amazing. I always liked her.
Leonie Jenkins was an MD.
Alan's wife?
And she was Alan Jenkins' wife.
Wow.
Phone 822.
She was a harpsichordist.
And thank you, Roger. And oh my gosh, I almost called you Suzanne Bernice. Roger and Bernice for adding to our CCB history. Thank you.
We're going to pursue this. We'll pursue this.
We are.
Yeah.
We will.
All right.
Sure.
Who do we have next?
This is Eve. I'm alternate delegate for ACB, Eve Maitland. I believe the narrator was John DeFrancesco. It certainly sounded like him. You can't miss his voice. He has a very distinctive voice. And I studied with him a long time ago before the school moved from Berkeley to Fremont. And he was a wonderful instructor to study with. So, but it sounded like him at the beginning of that. He announced, I believe it was him, that it sounded like him anyway, that announced the song.
All right.
So I just wanted to.
All right.
It would make
sense.
Thank
you for that. It sounds like we're starting to build consensus on that.
Yeah, it would make sense because usually when a director gets in front of a group, the director usually does that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was real good at that sort of thing anyway. That was one of his.
Ending in 10.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everybody. This is Pam. How are you?
Hey, Pam. How are you?
It been up too early? Jesus. But I did want to say, actually, I couldn't sleep last night, but I did want to say I enjoyed the morning program. Hush, let me finish. I tried to get through to ask a question on the domestic violence issue since I lived through it for 15 years. That's how I lost my right eye, sight out of my right eye. And I'd like to get in touch with them. Sarah, can you get me the information? I like to work on the domestic violence hotline down here in L.A. if possible.
I can definitely do that. I will do that for sure, Pam.
Okay, because I was trying to get through, but those of us who don't use iPhones have to wait for everybody else.
No, there was a lot of hands, from my understanding.
Yes, there were.
I know, I'm only messing with them. There was a lot of questions going on. And I just wanted to say I have enjoyed the convention so far. It has been spread out, which I like, because it's not all on top of each other. I'm looking forward to the banquet, and I will talk with you guys later. Keep the good work up, the good work. And do I have to get on tomorrow to vote on resolutions?
Yes. We'll miss you if you're not here.
Well, I'll be there because it's resolutions. I have to hear what everybody wrote. I'll talk with you guys later, and I'll enjoy the rest of the day.
Some stuff was written, Pam. And some votes will be taken. Don't worry.
Peter?
Hi. Good morning, everyone. It's been a fantastic convention. And in addition to John, I have a choir at the California School for the Blind. He also had a small choir at the East Bay Center for the Blind in Berkeley.
Well, he had lots of choirs everywhere, it sounds like.
Yes, he did. He had a beautiful voice. And he was, if I remember correctly, he wasn't not admitted to Juilliard because of his vision impairment. And that's really a tragedy.
Really? That would be interesting to find out more about. Bacon.
David may be able to clarify that more. But I remember John Dee, and he was quite a gentleman.
Thanks, well, Peter.
Thank you for that, Peter.
Thank you.
042 ending digits.
Okay. Hi, this is Patty. There are quite a few of us, actually, who are still alive, who went to school and studied with John DeFrancesco. He had a choir that we did concerts every year, and we had recitals, and he had a drama club, and when we had our Christmas program, some of us actually write the plays, and we performed them, and I know Evie was, I remember Evie, and so maybe we could get together and write a history for either the BC or just everybody to have. Thank you.
Patty, that sounds so cool. And Patty, I have to tell you, I love when you speak, I can hear your smile in your voice. Yeah. And that
thank you so much.
Smile.
Yes. Thanks.
No, it does. It makes me smile every time I hear you speak. I have to
share that. Well, I feel that way about you. I mean, I love to hear your voice. I can't wait to hear it. In fact, but I did want to say that we had a lot to do with John Dee. I mean, he was very active. He not only did he teach during the day, but at nighttime, I was in both of his choirs, the one at CSD and at OCB. We had a lot of fun, and music was such a part of all of our lives.
His wife
would sing, I have a tape, a whole recording of him singing opera,
Oh, well, we may need to get
and
a hold
some
of
our
that.
Concerts that we had. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, thank you.
Sounds like something to be digitized and saved.
I'm so jealous because I can only play the kazoo, guys. I have to just go ahead and confess.
Well, you know what, sir? You're ahead of me. All I can play is the radio.
He got us to play. Did you know what the recorder is? It's like a flute.
Oh,
little,
yeah.
He taught us that too. And I still play mine. My kitty cats don't like it, but I like to play it.
That's so cool. Yeah, I can't even play that when I was in school. So, okay, you're ahead of me there.
Margie. Hi, I'm going to jump in. It's Margie. And I want to first say I have zero musical talents. I last was in class. DeFrancesco in 1980, and while I thought that was his voice, I don't think it was deep enough. Now, I want to tell you a quick story about him. I have zero ability to dance. I don't hear rhythm in music. Mr. DeFrancesco found a role for me, and that was the lowest bell in the bell choir. So I only had to ring it about 3 times in any piece. But I'd be very interested in finding out who that is. I really thought it was him, but I don't think his voice was deep enough for him. But he, as everyone says, he was an incredible, incredible musician. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Margie.
Phone ending in 487.
Hi, this is Lori Kastner, and I went to the School for the Blind from the 4th grade through high school. I didn't take piano with John Dee, but I was in choruses with him. And in high school, 1 year when I was still in Glee Club, we were in the junior, or maybe it was junior high, we were in the junior Bach Festival. And he was really brilliant at leading music. And then, of course, I knew John as an adult when he was in the Bayview chapter for a number of years. And he was also did a lot of work with the Oakland Public Library when they were working to have more materials put into Braille available. And they were also creating a big map project where they were doing sections of Oakland on maps. And he was really instrumental at how those were completed. And remember the old thermoform machines? We were copying maps on those.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, that's what I want share about.
I'm not muted.
Lori, before you go away, Lori, what is your opinion? Was that talked to
Francesco, on that introduction?
Sorry, I was away for a while, and I thought I was recording, and I was not recording the session, so I don't know.
We're going to have to get it out. That definitely will have to get out.
Yeah. We will, for sure.
Donald?
Hello? Yes, can you hear us?
You're very loud.
Yeah.
Okay, Socorro would like to talk to you.
Hi, can you hear me?
You're way loud, back way up from your mic.
Back away from your microphone.
Talk again, Socorro.
Hi, can you hear me now?
You're very loud.
You're very loud. Sort of. You want to just back a little bit?
Okay, sorry, I'll back away. I just wanted to talk about the Song of Unification. I was in the choir. It was called the Vista Chorale. It was the choir that John, it was sponsored by Vista College, a community college in Berkeley. We met at OCB once a week. And the song was written by Lee Jenkins, who's a very good friend of mine, or was a very good friend of mine. And that was John DeFrancesco narrating, and we sang the song. It was called Song of Unification, and it was professionally recorded by a place down in Emeryville. If you from Northern California, you know where that is. So, yes, it was. I have a recording. I have a tape of it, and it came out beautifully. But, yeah, John was just a terrific person, and we had a great time singing that song, and Lee was very enthusiastic because she wrote the song and she called me on the phone because we were very good friends. Our kids were going together, her son and my daughter. But anyway, she called and she said, I just wrote this song and I don't know what to do with it. I said, okay, let me call John DeFrancesco. And sure enough, he came up with the idea, came up with the idea of recording it. So it was a lot of fun, and it's a wonderful song, and it was sure very relevant at the time because we were just getting together as an organization. And I really enjoyed recording it, and all of us did, and we have a lot of fond memories. And so I do have a tape of it, and it's great.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, everybody, there's a superstar, Socorro, in the room.
Right. And Socorro, I've got to say, listening to you recount that gave me chills right now. So that was awesome.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Thank you for saying that.
I can't hear. I couldn't hear you for some reason.
Oh, Gabe says, thank you for sharing.
Can you hear me now, Socorro?
Yeah.
Okay. I was just saying that listening to you recount that was giving me chills. So it was great to hear it. And thank you for getting on here and sharing that.
Well, you're very welcome. I enjoyed doing it.
Awesome. Thank you, Socorro.
Are we going to take more? We're mostly, it looks like repeat hands pretty much.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's see. What time are we at, guys?
We're at about 3 or 4 minutes till.
All right, let's do a door prize. Let's do a door prize and get all settled. Lisa, are you around?
I'm still here.
As she's doing that, we're going to transition to Belinda, who is going to do your Zoom for the next session.
Welcome, Belinda. So
should we wait until the transition, everyone, and the new disclaimer?
Yeah, because we're going to do...
We're changing streamers, too.
It's not going to be, unfortunately, Debbie Hazelton, who is experiencing some bad storms in Alabama with hurricane warnings and stuff like that. Lots of hail. So I'll stream for her. And we want to thank Tyson very much for coming back again today and doing a great job.
Yes. Thank you, Tyson.
Thank you very much.
Tyson. You're a cool guy.
Oh, you guys are very welcome.
We'll make you an honorary...
I'll get you moved, Linda. We need you back, right?
Yeah, we need Linda back up here.
So do you want us to transition now, or do you want to do the door prize first?
Let's do the door prize and transition. Deb, you tell us the best way to do it.
It doesn't matter. Go ahead and do the door prize. And Christy has her hand back up, and I know she was supposed to come back with something. So do you want to have Christy? Or not?
And that's not. Christy, why don't you just send it out? Yeah.
All right. Bring it up, Linda.
Yeah.
Okay, there comes Linda. And yeah, go ahead with the door prize and then let's do the transition.
The transition, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's do we're doing another $25 Amazon gift card donated by CCB. And there we go. And the winner is Rebecca Valadares.
Congratulations, Rebecca.
Mm-hmm. It's not a name that I am familiar with, so I do not know where Rebecca lives.
I'm just verifying, Belinda, you're over there and unmuted and ready to go.
She is new.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
Brand That's what I want to hear. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. We're going to let our folks do their transition here. While they're transitioning, everybody get up and do a little stretch. Remember what Leslie taught us yesterday?